Hey everybody, welcome back to Myopia Movies. This week we're covering the Triple X movie by Vin Diesel, his first starring vehicle technically. This, you know, weird pseudo Bond ripoff slash pseudo kind of aggro version of the Bourne movies and what eventually Fast and Furious will become is silly and over the top, and you know, check it out. It's pretty easily found. I'm Lil Sweat. Again, we'll kind of plug the next episode at the end of each episode, but while we're getting that underneath us, I did want to throw out that our next episode will in fact be Signs in honor of the 20th anniversary of that M. Night Shyamalan movie. Thanks for following us, listening, and subscribing, and doing all that you do, and please enjoy Triple X. Welcome to the beginning of season 9. We did it. We're here. 370 episodes so far.
How many lost hair follicles?
Not many lost, but a lot more gray. We've been splicing in some back catalog episodes. You can listen to me up here. I'm filled with hope. Meanwhile, with less hope, hi, I'm Nick Hoffman, Cineprof, almost back. And on panel we've got...
Charlie Rose.
Hello, this is Daniel, contributor to popdose.com, and fucking extreme to the max. Podcast, do not live for this shit.
This movie.
It makes Die Another Day look like Goldfinger.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to get that on record. That's what this movie is.
And speaking of, Die Another Day came out the same year as this.
Ooh.
I mean, so this should be a mission briefing, but we've discontinued Patreon. It's just... too much to do for how much... I mean, just a lot to do. We do 52 episodes a year for you beautiful people. But when we used to do Mission Briefing in live and on Patreon, we used to try to tie this. This came out the same year as Pierce Brosnan's beautiful career as Bond ended, which is a shame.
It's a shame he went out on such a sour note, because that, oh boy.
Well, and it's a post 9/11 movie, and so is this. And so the NSA are the heroes, and God help me, the NSA being the CIA.
It seemed weird, though, because they never explicitly referenced 9/11 in either movie. I mean, I know Casino Royale did in 2006, but here they were just kind of plodding along and kind of dancing around it without ever mentioning it explicitly.
Well, I mean, I will say... They announced that this movie, like, came out. They were doing the announcements. Vin Diesel is going to star. This is his first starring vehicle in 2001. It was announced in July of 2001, and he would receive about $10 million, God help us, with an initial release the next July. And God help me, in L.A., there was just a giant billboard that said, Triple X coming in July 2002. That was it. We're good.
I wonder, given the timing, if they had to go back and reshoot to change CIA or whatever to NSA.
I don't know. Maybe.
Something. Because this movie is a mess. We've talked about how Bond nearly fell apart with the Pierce Brosnan era because they were being countersued. There was supposed to be a second line of movies that never came to be.
Well, they just didn't know what they were doing. No action director really did at the time. They all wanted to be MTV, fast, quick.
Yeah.
They wanted to...
extreme.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Well, they also saw Paul Greengrass's Bourne movies.
That came out later.
Really?
That came out the year after this, I think.
Well, but he's the one who did it right. Those movies make me dizzy, but they have a style. This movie has no style except for Rob Cohen. And Rob Cohen's cinematic terrorist just shat all over this movie. If you guys didn't watch this, all you need to do is pull up the end credits, and that's what it is. At one point, a dragon shows up.
Perhaps a reference to his previous movie, Dragonheart.
Stay tuned. So, who wants to give me the plot synopsis of this movie?
Who can do the best Vin Diesel impersonation?
I live for this shit.
I mean, if you're feeling wooden, then yes, you know, his acting was...
Oh,
so
by the way,
bad.
Speaking of wooden, we see him make out with, like, three times. It's like making out with a marble statue that has not learned how to speak. It's so... It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
He's big and pretty, but...
Oh, my God.
I mean,
They used him right when he was the voice of the Iron Giant. And or Groot. That's what you need. He's got this big, earthy voice. I don't need to see him wearing an entire dog's worth of coat. That is the biggest fur coat.
Hold up, but that actually became, like, iconic. Everyone, when they see that coat, they think of this series of movies.
I didn't.
They carried it through.
I thought
they
of did. Macklemore. Oh, yeah. I thought of Macklemore in the thrift shop music video. That's what I thought of.
I mean, it's also... Brad Pitt has one in Fight Club.
Yes, he does.
It's not nearly this big. The one he's wearing in the ice bar is like an entire animal. It's the biggest coat I've ever seen. It's amazing.
Have you seen those Facebook videos of like dresses with octopus arms on them on a fashion runway? It's like that. That's how much space it takes up.
He's just wearing a tank top underneath, which is amazing. Yeah, so this movie made $250 million because we have no dignity left.
Not in that year. Not in 2003?
Two.
Two.
This is 2002.
There was no dignity.
This movie, yeah, it did fine. So, does that mean I have to do the plot?
yeah, well, you can try. Let's see what happens.
So, smash cut to a Rammstein music video happening in real time.
Yep.
As someone who's supposed to be James Bond, I would assume, gets murdered in cold blood from a sniper, from a bunch of people doing heroin, in a balcony in what looks like a medieval church. This is what provokes Sam Jackson to say, we need someone who thinks outside the box. And so I have a bunch of criminals who I want to indoctrinate into the NSA. Because we're not saying CIA here for some reason, but NSA.
So I'll just say, sorry to interrupt, but I will just say, basically the plot is Sam Jackson is a black person who wants to put together a group of criminals that might work for the government in order to reduce their prison time, and their mission may very well be a suicide mission.
Oh,
it's like a squad.
God.
A suicide squad, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just broke Charlie.
Yeah. So, after two secret training missions, which we'll get to, the point is that they're trying to stop a group called Anarchy 99, which is a Russian terrorist group, which has a biological weapon called Silent Night, which they will use to destroy.
I remember Anarchy 99 on those AOL chat rooms back in the day. He was a real dick.
And his name is Yorgi.
I mean, it sounds like a radio station to me, you know. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Anarchy 99, home of the morning mix.
Anarchy99.planet.com. We're here to tell you about the chemicals that the Russians are putting into planes and leaving in chemtrails.
Although in this case, it's a solar-powered submarine, which somehow works.
Maybe.
Solar-powered submarine. Just let that sink in.
Again, this is Bond for stupid people. I don't know how else to tell you. Like, it's... Because he shows up and takes over meeting. He's been in the NSA for a week, as he keeps reminding us, and he's put in charge of the Prague Police Department or something.
He gets recruited for a mission to investigate the NSA agent's death and what's going on with Anarchy 99. So they recruit him after he, films a video, which was confusing. He steals some bigwig executive sports car from a golf resort. And
a state senator.
A state senator. Dick Hotchkiss.
And if I may, this is the perfect start. First of all, he's a 40-year-old Vin Diesel, and he's like, you said that we shouldn't skateboard or play video games, so I'm going to steal your Corvette. And you're just like, whatever. So he dresses up like, you know, he's supposed to be running the valet service. He takes the guy's Corvette and just boats it out of there. And the guy, of course, he's a bad guy, so he goes, do you even speak English?
Which is just...
I'm pretty sure the senator was played by the national security advisor that gets executed in Air Force One.
This feels like someone saw Air Force One. Rob Cohen's seen a lot of movies. Now, luckily, Rob Cohen doesn't listen to this crap. If this was Yul Bol, he would have already challenged us to a boxing match, I recall him.
Considering what's going on with Rob Cohen these days, I don't think he's going to be listening to too much beyond the advice from his attorney.
What do you mean? Just because his Wikipedia photo is him in like a lineup doesn't mean that he's not doing okay. He actually looks like G. Gordon Liddy. Whatever.
Oh,
okay.
Rob Cohen and his G. Gordon Liddy. That's something.
So they steal this Corvette, and he pulls to the side, and they put a bunch of cameras on it, and we're essentially doing Jackass, right? Yeah.
I am Vin Diesel. This is the gorge jump.
This is Corvette steal. So we're stealing this Corvette because the guy said we... And on the back, there's a bumper there sticker that says skateboarding is illegal.
Skateboarding is a crime. Who cared that much about skateboarding and its effect on society in 2002?
Script has been kicking around since 1985. It was supposed to be Bill and Ted's third movie.
When was Tony Hawk Public Enemy number one?
He shows up in this. When they have the scene, which is looks like the Foot Clan's house, and everyone's just skateboarding, and the girl comes up to him and goes, "You know what? We should make a video game with you." And he goes, "Oh, maybe." Yeah,
that's right.
Tony Hawk's in there. And like it's Zoolander, someone goes up to him and says, "So when are you going to show us this new trick you've been working on?"
That's right.
What movie is this?
I'll run through the rest of the plot real quick.
We did the plot. We just have to get to shit now.
Yeah, I mean, basically, a terrorist organization's going to destroy the world. Vin Diesel's going in there to stop them with a bunch of gadgets from the NSA.
Mm-hmm.
And he falls in love with this random woman. That's a part of his mission.
Yelena.
In the, 6 hours he's embedded with the group, he falls in love with her madly.
Mm-hmm.
It was H.R. Argento, by the way, which was weird casting.
You think your dad, Dario, is nearby just watching the movie?
I don't know why.
You're in this shit? What are you doing?
Well, I mean, Dario Argento's got no right to complain about anyone else's shit. I'll just say that.
Fair.
I want to criticize the movie on something very important.
Yeah.
It was like 45 minutes, way too long.
Oh, yeah.
And you watch it, the first hour is him stealing the Corvette scene, him waking up in the diner for the first, audition, if you will, and then him waking up in Colombia for the second audition. He doesn't actually get to the meat of this plot until the second hour. That's freaking ridiculous.
It is, and like, there's so much extra crap here because they're aping a Bond movie, but they have none of the dignity of a Bond movie, right? Like, so Bond movies have a cold open. So rather than a subtle cold open where it's the previous mission or the guy who failed, we have the guy who failed, but it's at a Rammstein concert. So this guy throws up in an immaculate tuxedo, and there's fire and everything, and people are doing literally, like, heroin in shots. And he's crowd surfing and gets shot on stage.
Exactly. they were trying too hard.
They tried so hard for this. And I mean, and again, Vin Diesel steals a car, crashes it, and then he goes to his like weird party. And we have again another actress for no reason. Eve is in this.
Who's in this?
Eve. She was an MTV person in the early 2000s.
Yes.
I don't know her.
You're fine. You don't have to know her. But this is 2002, so this is like getting Ryan Seacrest for something, right? Like, it's just, you know, it's stunt casting. She's on stage as his secretary for a minute. She says, you know, she tells other women to get away, and then tells Vin Diesel, go bang some chicks somewhere and then come back. And then she's out of the movie, and you're just like, what on earth is happening? There's people skateboarding, and then all of a sudden, the NSA do, which doesn't make sense, but they SWAT this place, and they arrest him, and they say, it was only a Corvette. And he wakes up in a diner.
They tranquilize him.
They trank him, and he wakes up in that diner.
That faux Natural Born Killers diner where he witnesses an armed robbery, but it turns out everyone's a decoy, like the waitress... is wearing heels, so we know she's not a real diner waitress, and,
No. We have to get in just for a second. How he Sherlock Holmes is this nonsense. Here's a guy wearing the Financial Times.
On a Sunday when the markets are closed.
Maybe. But she's wearing heels. My mom, or whatever, was a waitress for 20 years, and heels, she'd have corns today. And you're just like, alright.
I believe the line was, blisters the size of pancakes.
Just like,
yep.
Sherlock Holmesing this shit. And then whatever the dupe is, breaking the coffee pot on his face. You're just like, oh, this man did not get paid enough for today. This
is... especially when you see him later where half of his face is like, he's got like a first, third degree burn.
Oh, yeah. And Sam Jackson is just bravo. You did it, Triple X.
And your reward is another tranquilizer.
Fuck you.
He is the best part of this movie, Samuel Jackson.
He's the best part in a lot of movies.
Yeah. Including this one.
Yeah, Sam Jackson will do your movie. And also, again, for no reason, he's like covered in scars and has his hair, which is a wig.
It's like, seriously, what was the purpose of the scars? They didn't even give a backstory. They just said, well, you know what this guy needs? He needs more scars.
That horrible piece, too.
He did hint that he was like on a combat mission or a mission for the NSA, and that's, do you want to know how I got these scars?
That's right. The littlest joker. I mean, but that's kind of, I mean, you made the reference to the Suicide Squad earlier, but this is also kind of like, but bad Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
First of all, you're working with Vin Diesel, so you're already in trouble. But also, like, if I recall correctly, we had this scroll at the beginning where he's like, these are, I want five guys. And they're all these, like, these toughs, they're all these bald white men.
They were all bald white men.
In fact, if you told me they were just all the stunt doubles for Vin Diesel, I'd have believed you, because they all had the same shape kind of head.
Yeah. Now, Bond kind of makes the same mistake in some movies, Die Another Day being one of them, but Xander Cage, he's known as Triple X because he's got that tattoo on his neck, and he's at three strikes, so I'm going to call you Triple X. I'm giving you your new name.
Ugh.
Anyway, he's already a public figure. People know who he is. Even when he goes on his mission, they're like, exactly. Oh, Xander Cage, you're so cool. How can he be a spy then?
Actually, it makes sense because no one expects him to be a spy.
I like the idea that the NSA was like, we tried to get someone to learn all of Rammstein's songs, and they kept getting lost, so we might as well just get a skater.
Because when they finally get to the second half of the movie, and he makes it to Prague, he goes in, he infiltrates, and they're like, you are that guy. You are Xander Cage. And then at that point, immediately, like, they let him in.
After immediately burning the Czech policeman he gets in with, we have to talk about Colombia for at least a second.
Okay.
But after they all fall out of this plane, they're like literally being thrown out one by one, drugged by a parachute. He goes, I'll live for this shit. As though he's been kidnapped six times this year.
I've already completely forgotten about what happened. I kind of remember, but that was so unnecessary.
All you need to know is there was explosions and Xander Cage on a dirt bike, you know, sort of doing that thing where you hold on to the handlebars, but you get off the seat and you stick your legs out to the left, and you stick your legs out to the right, and then you turn the bike sideways, and then you land. That was it. That was the whole scene.
Well, and I mean,
did he put his hands on his hips and bring his knees in tight on that motorcycle?
I will also say,
I see what you did there. Yep.
I do like the other people in the gang, because this one guy just has like, you know what this is? This is cocaine. And he's just like filling his pockets with shit.
I'm referencing movies that came out after this, but it's like Jack Black in Tropic Thunder. It's the exact same character.
This guy, I mean, and that's also kind of the problem with this movie. It has no point. I mean, and you've gotten to the fact that it takes us 45 minutes, an hour to get to the actual spy part, which is something Bond usually does very well. He's in M's office in the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and he's got the mission. You know, that Goldfinger is quite a rapscallion, Mr. Bond. But like, here it's just like Samuel L. Jackson. And also Samuel L. Jackson, as far as an M goes, is just like, you should go home. You didn't. You've passed this test. And you're just like, why?
That's an excellent point. Why both Diner and Columbia? They could have done just the Diner. They could have done just Columbia.
Make Columbia a separate mission that he succeeds in.
Or maybe he's just a scumbag in Columbia, and that's why the NSA chooses him. You can start with him hanging when he's up here with Danny Trejo, and he goes, wait a minute, that smells like actual blood. And you're just like, they got Danny Trejo for 45 minutes here?
You know what? They did get Danny Trejo, and I love them for getting Danny Trejo.
Yep.
I'm going to open a taco stand now.
Oh, Danny Trejo is such a wonderful human being.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, absolutely.
And he elevates the scene, which is incredibly stupid.
Yeah.
But Vin Diesel smells it, and he goes, this is actual blood, and they stop playing games, and then they actually have a fight. And like you said, this is where we get like 7.5 minutes of explosions on a dirt bike.
And dirt bikes.
Dirt bike. I mean, we were introduced to the explosions when the Corvette just vaporized about 6 inches from the floor. And then they have the audacity to pick up the cameras afterwards and throw them in the back of the car.
But yeah.
But here, Danny Trejo gets insulted slightly by a man wearing motorcycle pants. And then he goes, wait a minute, that smells like blood. And then, in an effort to escape, Vin Diesel one of the guy dies immediately, another guy dies soon after, so it's him and another person left. We have some motorcycling, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. which mostly involves him doing jumps through barbed wire. The shot where he... Also, this is 2002, CGI's not great yet, but it's clearly a biker... with a green mask on, and they have photoshopped his head on it, and it looks atrocious as he's running through that razor wire. But when they go back to rescue the final guy, the NSA comes and rescues him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he has passed his second test, which apparently was killing a bunch of Colombians who were dealing cocaine.
Was cocaine... it looked like they were on a pot farm. I wasn't entirely sure what was going on there.
I think it's supposed to be coke poppies, but I don't know. I'm not... Turns out I don't want a cocaine or marijuana
plantation. I think they relied on the fact that no one really knows what it looks like, so they're just not going to bother.
No, it's just the X Games meets James Bond, and we're fine. We are fine. I mean, I'll tell you what, though. Like, this movie is why Bond needed to reboot with Daniel Craig in something gritty, because if you told me this was Die Another Day, about half of it I'd believe you. Die Another Day is stupid. It's not this stupid. But it is stupid. It has an invisible BMW, if I recall. And
yes,
Madonna.
It does. And Madonna.
And Madonna.
And Halle Berry. And Mads Mikkelsen. Well, no, not Mads Mikkelsen. Michael Madsen.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
And London Calling on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Although, what is stupider? I think this wins because it has the American flag parachute in the third act, which we will get to that stunt.
Yeah, I was going to say, we are ways out from that.
Which is stupider, this movie, because on its soundtrack it has, let the bodies hit the floor, let the bodies hit the floor.
That music was just way too extreme for my tastes. I mean, it took me back to the 90s, and that is not a pleasant place to be.
No. Clinton's America.
Yeah.
So
this rocking is too hard. I like saxophones better.
I mean, in fact, this whole movie feels like I missed the 90s. I was awesome and cool in the 90s. Let's just go to Prague on a budget and recreate the 90s.
I think the perfect cameos were in this movie, which is Tony Hawk and an MTV personality.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need to know, because that's the late 90s. Like, mm-hmm. you might as well have, like a VJ in this, right?
Exactly.
Like, hey, you're the next hot thing on an underground website. Fuck you. This is before YouTube, and you have an underground website that everyone knows about.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
And this was before the entire world agreed that Danny Trejo and Samuel Jackson were fucking treasures that enhanced movies.
This is true.
I don't know when the first Machete movie came out.
2000, I want to say 2007.
Perfect.
I remember this trailer. Now, I think it came out later. What was that? When was that extremist Arizona immigration bill where they tried to essentially take over federal authority for patrol?
2005, 2006.
Yeah, somewhere around.
But I mean, like, that being said, this is Machete Begins. He's there with the machete against mm-hmm. his neck. Danny Trejo, who's been in like 10,000 movies at this point,
mm-hmm.
elevates everything. It's like you said, like, this movie is, they're supporting on their poor shoulders Vin Diesel, these incredible character actors who have to deal with this nonsense.
Absolutely.
This utter nonsense. Let's get to Prague or whatever. Vin Diesel's plot here is to deal with Anarchy 99, because apparently you just can't get someone in the NSA to listen to that much Limp Bizkit or whatever. And Vin Diesel he's taken to, I guess, a safe house where he's meets up with the Prague police. Go ahead,
Charlie. The Prague secret police, mind you.
Of course.
Secret police. And then they decide to go to a bar, a East European bar, where they're playing Limp Bizkit, Rammstein. I don't know. It's all the same.
I mean, first of all, nothing like drinking in what looks like a medieval church.
Yeah.
But like, it's blue. He's wearing his giant coat.
His giant fur coat. That Xander Cage fur coat.
And, like, it's just... The first thing he does immediately is burn his cop buddy. And we got to talk about this. He goes, so where's the guy? The main guy is a guy named Yorgi.
Yep. Which is a great episode of SCTV, if you've never seen it, with John Candy as Yorgi, the Cossack that loves everyone.
Although I will say, this is essentially Spies Like Us without the sense of humor. Because it's all the same. It's all incredibly stupid. Everyone got the wrong notes from a Bond movie. But he's like, yeah, but I'm Vin Diesel. And then he proceeds to drink so heavily he calls in late to the NSA. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
There's even a Bond Die Another Day video phone in this movie.
Oh, that's bad. That Motorola phone?
Yeah.
We'll get there. So Vin Diesel goes up to Yorgi and he goes, hey, you see that guy over there wearing motel drapes as a suit? That guy is police. And he tells it to this guy who's a foot and a half taller than Vin Diesel. I don't know if he's tall, but he looks like a statue anyway. So this, like, golem walks over, picks up the cop, and they kick him out of this bar. So now Vin Diesel is on his own, since he has nothing, and he goes...
He now has the cred.
He now has cred, but then he also... one of the bodyguards recognizes him as, you're Xander Cage.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one who does the Jackass videos when you slap your uncle in the face a bunch of times. Or whatever the Xander Zone is. And he keeps saying Xander Zone and it makes me sad.
Yeah, welcome to the Xander Zone.
Welcome to Xander Zone. Which was an AOL keyword, I guess, in 2002 or whatever.
AOL keyword. Oh my God.
Yeah, we got to do You've Got Mail this season.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of AOL humor, I think that had Dave Chappelle in it.
I believe it did. I believe you're right. It's been a while since I've seen it, but... What about... You know, that's what they need in this movie as well. There is a Q figure who apparently their big invention is Band-Aids that have bombs in them.
It's like they tried to make the Q figure a comedy relief. But he was terrible.
Well, to be fair, what he needs to be is the buddy cop. You need someone to lighten the scene.
To be fair, they did have John Cleese as Q in a couple of Bond movies. Which,
around this era.
Yeah.
Because Llewellyn was getting old, but still, like...
I thought Llewellyn died, I think, in 1999. And Q always was kind of a comic relief as a straight man to Bond's...
Yes, but these are the Brits. It's drier toast next to even drier toast. Right? Like, it's like, yeah, Mr. Bond, that's my lunch.
At least nobody made a joke in this movie about a quote-unquote ghetto blaster.
God help me. 1970s was a very hard time.
That was in the 90s, man. That was GoldenEye.
Was that GoldenEye?
Yeah, the big boombox.
That's what I need to rewatch. You guys heard recently. It was on our summer feed.
Anyway, they needed even if it was like Dane Cook or some flavor of the month comedian, that's who needed to be this character. I don't even know who this guy was.
Rob Schneider
was exactly what I was thinking too.
Sly Stallone already claimed Rob Schneider as his comic relief though, so
you're hilarious. But you know what would have been funny, honestly, if just put Rowan Atkinson, the British contact.
Why not?
No. This movie needed something like Pauly Shore.
Hey, buddy.
I mean, if you're really going with the theme,
hey,
you're going to lean into this horrible, horrible thematic element.
It's already stupid and it's MTV. Just have an animated Beavis walk up. It's a totally normal movie, but then it becomes Who Framed Roger Rabbit, just a cartoon.
So this like blows up your butt and stuff.
I mean, I think it would have made the movie better. I really do.
I mean, it's 2001. Like, it would have been Jon Stewart or something, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
But this Weasley little guy loads Vin Diesel up on all this high-level
and it's also
technology.
But it's also, like, Vin Diesel, who's supposed to be... I mean, he's a good-looking guy, but he's supposed to be the sexiest thing on the planet. This guy is hitting on all the Czech police women, and Vin Diesel goes, maybe. And they're all like, oh, Vin Diesel. And he's like, yeah, I guess I'm kind of a loser. So, out all night at the bar, drinking vodka, he calls in late, and so...
Well, and Samuel Jackson assumes, the character wasn't in Gibbons. Gibbons assumes that he just blew it.
Yeah. Right.
But then he started, like, reciting all this information and providing really good intel.
Including bank details?
Yeah, bank details. Oh, and here's a bank account number. And they're like,
okay.
And right. So, of course, you know, Samuel Jackson's like, okay, well, you're done, right?
And he does that a little later. There's another mission where he tells Asia Argento that he's actually a spy, and then some random person calls Yorgi to tell him the same thing. Did we find out who that was?
The assumption is it's the Prague cop that he burned.
Yes, right. Okay, that makes sense, because which he does show up in the later.
Which comes up, yeah.
And I mean, like, and the other thing we get is the whole thing was that Vin Diesel was supposed to go in to buy a bunch of cars that had been stolen. And Vin Diesel was given, whatever, $1 million to buy these cars.
I believe 1.2 million.
And he goes, those cars are for losers. They would have known I was a cop right away. So I got cooler cars. And then he goes... So the first thing he does is take 1.2 million of the NSA's money and fuck with it. So he's dead yesterday.
That's a waste of our tax dollars, folks. Look, they're financing these car theft rings internationally.
And instead, Vin Diesel, it's a standard, you know, nodding and going, you son of a bitch, because Samuel Jackson is fine with it.
Yeah.
And then we got
results.
And then so. You know, he comes back with his information. It's good. And so then he goes deeper.
That's right.
He goes deeper into the organization.
And this is where we get our stupid Q scene, where he has a couple silly gadgets, including binoculars that can see through clothes.
Yes.
Of course.
This movie is so nu metal horny, it's not even funny.
Oh, my gosh.
Everything about this is like, okay, you want to jerk off to a Limp Bizkit music video? Here's a feature-length version of that.
We also have the gun with several bullets, which become important. One that's an explodey bullet.
There are tranquilizers, right?
And there's tranquilizers. One that's a tranquilizer that actually has a blood spatter, so it's right. That they're dying.
The important one is the blood one, which comes up a couple times.
I remember multiplayer in GoldenEye had that same weapon.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, it's also like a giant god killer gun with these little, like, colorful bullets like you're playing an FPS. It's very stupid. And at one point, this happens, I think, right around here, so I'm going to mention it. They go, like, so do you know how to fire a gun? He goes, no, but in, like, I learned in 1999 or whatever. He goes, what, you hold up a bunch of liquor stores? He goes, no, I broke my leg, and I played a bunch of FPSs while I was laid up. And you're just like, oh, this is Snakes on a Plane, stupid, where Keenan can land a plane because he played... Microsoft Flight Simulator.
At least that was charming in Snakes on a Plane. At least that had points. Everyone else who could do it was dead. It was a desperate situation.
Also, Keenan Thompson is always charming. Vin Diesel is not.
Yeah,
Keenan Thompson should have been in this movie. He would have been around at this time.
Should he have been in... Well, he was...
Hold up, but he was like a teenager.
When did that Fat Albert movie come out? That was 2004. So he was starring in movies
that everyone still thought was a child.
He was still kind of a kid.
Well, he was a child. He was on SNL, though, by this point, wasn't he?
I think he joined SNL a few years later. Yeah. I know he's been on there forever by now, so...
Yeah. He's been on since 1975.
Okay. Oh, wait, no.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's it.
He looks good for his age.
Yeah. He does.
So anyway, the next day he goes back.
He does. He goes back, and this is when he goes to get the cars.
Correct.
And then all of a sudden, there's a sniper on the roof, and he goes, And Yoda goes, you must be a cop. And he goes, or oh, you are. And he goes, you're my buddy now.
It's the Q figure, right? That was spying on them. Yes. And he touches like some glass panel in the ceiling that falls and destroys a bunch of other stolen cars.
Yes.
And I mean, and again, this is a God in 60 Seconds warehouse. There's 200 stolen cars, and he's walking through it like it's CarMax. Although I will say, there's one car that's important that it's established, which is a kind of purpley GTO.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That will become...
That's a nice car, though.
Oh, it's gorgeous. And this is also where it feels very Bond with his DB5, where you have this kind of classic, super gorgeous car that... On one hand, is immediately identifiable. If you wanted to pull this off, I hate it, but when he did the BMW, at least it's a subtle car, because you see BMWs. You don't see this, and yet, this car is gorgeous, and it fits into a Bond movie. But they make a break for it, they run away, because shitty Q has ruined everything.
However, this is the scene where the chief of the guy from the secret police in Prague.
Yeah.
He's running, and they shoot him down.
Right.
Exactly. Right. And that's how he proves that he can be trusted.
Right.
And he uses the trank with the blood spatter.
Yes.
That's right.
See, this is a good movie. It's Chekhov's gun principle. They introduce something, and then they use
it. And then 10 minutes later, they use it before the grampies in the audience forget. We then get to his magic mansion up in the mountains.
Yep.
And at this point...
there's more partying.
There's partying. Xander is in. He's offered the girlfriend.
There's a stripper in his room. He follows Asia Argento to like his guest room, and there's
a stripper waiting.
Yep.
And it's implied they did the nasty.
It is.
They did. I mean,
implied. I'm pretty sure it's flat out stated. They just cut away.
He also makes out with Yelena at one point, and she goes, "This is the last time I will kiss you." And you're just like, "Oh, this movie is weird." It is. It's very strange. And he wakes up the next morning and he catches, what's her name? Yelena. Wandering around and trying to get access to the computers.
And she was photographing a safe as well.
That's hidden in the floor.
That's right. And he assumes she's just trying to fleece him. We'll get to it, but apparently she's a Russian intelligence agent.
See, even I knew that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Although this is more bullshit. I mean, talk about representation in Hollywood. An Italian woman playing a Russian.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
But he also could have, they could have just made her Interpol and it would have been fine. Right? Like they couldn't be bothered. It's literally, this is a movie where you cannot be bothered.
Also, since when does Russia hate rich criminal oligarchs?
Within its own country. Maybe he's not paying his fair share.
Oh, there you go.
That's right.
Putin needs them dollar bills, son.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the... You know, he catches her, and an interesting interchange happens between them, and he basically says, why don't we go to lunch, and I'll tell you why I'm not going to turn you in. And then he just goes to lunch, he's like, I'm a secret agent. She's like,
I'm a
bullshit.
Secret agent. Yeah. And then she gets a call from one of Yorgi's people saying, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, this guy's a secret agent.
And take him outside so we can, like, you know, murder his brains.
Yeah. And the rest of him as well, along with his brains. Yeah. But anyway, that's what happens. And he escapes first by walking next to her because the sniper apparently has a crush on Yelena.
Yep, and he can't get a good shot.
And then he steals a silver dinner tray and uses it to reflect sunlight after he runs outside.
But the most important part is he goes all X Games and uses it like a skateboard and rides it down the steps.
Please, that wasn't X Games. That was Sonic Adventure. That was Sonic Adventure level.
I will also say, the second most important thing then is that he smacks her in the face with it.
Yeah.
So they don't think that she told him in advance.
Correct. Yes.
But I mean, and it's so funny too because this is also supposed to be a very Bond scene because at this gorgeous restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
White tablecloth, it's a white glove service, it's wonderful. He shows up in a tank top and some skate and his motorcycle pants wearing that fur coat that's made from an entire Alsatian.
And no one says a word?
No, not only did I say the word, it's also like he might as well have ordered the kids' mac and cheese because he's just like
that ridiculous,
right? And she goes, they're going to try to kill you, and he goes, but I haven't even finished my mocktail yet. Like, it's just, it's there with a curly straw. It's all out of place. Because again, if you tell me that Daniel Craig knows how to order in check from a six course meal, I believe it. When he shows up, I'm just like, so is the McRib back? Like, it's why the notes don't work. It doesn't make sense. But yes, he smacks her in the face. He's like, it's okay, I love you. Pow! And knocks her out cold, and then he skates it down the stair, which is...
It is what it is.
Either way, he gets away via the stupidest way imaginable, but somehow he gets away from all this. I stopped taking notes about the action scenes because they're like 20 minutes each, and they don't mean anything except to show off dumb stunts.
Well, and I will say this. You know, you would expect more, you know, fisticuffs out of a movie like this.
Right.
But I think the most he does is smack that Yelena around.
Yeah, I mean, and occasionally he gets a gun, but when he gets the gun, he has the safety on, and she does most of the firing.
Yeah, exactly.
He does kill roughly 30 people with an avalanche, which we'll get to in a second.
He doesn't quite escape, though. He gets captured by the NSA and taken back to Samuel L. Jackson watching a private ballet.
Opera.
Oh, it's an opera.
And if you watch the music credits, which is incredible, it's like Rammstein, Limp Bizkit, Gavin Rosdale, and Mozart.
Yep.
They credited Mozart.
Gavin Rosdale. Oh.
Yeah, that's where we are.
Now, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
But I mean, like, it's funny because this is that also could have been a very Bond scene because they're in the beautiful Prague Opera House.
Exactly.
And Samuel is sitting by himself and he's like, what is this shit? I thought torture was worse. And you're just like, what are you talking about? Pretend you know anything about anything. Fuck you. At this point,
he gets sent home because.
Well, he's given a ticket and told to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah, your cover is burned. Etc. And he's like,
we've got enough intel to take these people out.
Yelena.
There's
always a woman.
Well, we've got a sweeper team coming in to kill everyone, so we'll deal with Yelena. Yeah. She's going to get a bullet in her head.
And again, to Charlie's point, this is where we're finally told the plot, which is the solar-powered submarine and a chemical weapon barrage that we then see tested on the scientists that made it work.
And it's such a goddamn ripoff of Goldfinger because they immediately kill all the people that made the submarine.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, oh, Bond.
Yeah.
They lifted from Bond straight.
Well, I mean, and even more recently, Tomorrow Never Dies, which is just a few Bond movies before this, has the stealth sub, and he's making his own news by blowing up cities.
I don't think he was quite at the blowing up cities yet, but I get your point.
Well, right, but that's the idea. And so, literally, we have these... It actually looks to me very much like the missiles and the bombs from The Rock, because it's got this kind of weird green glowy thing to it. And it just kills people instantly. But if it's mixed with water, it's completely inert.
And what I guess what really happens is...
Wait a sec. Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt, Charlie, but I do have a question. So if this chemical mixes with water, it's completely harmless. Then why the hell use a submarine to deliver it?
Not saying this movie would have been better in 5 years, but at least if it was made 6 years later, it would have been a drone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. It would have been a drone. Yeah, absolutely. No, so basically Yelena goes back, and because, because Vin Diesel's Xander Cage smacked her with a tray, she's now trustworthy enough for him to take her down to the secret lair underneath the mansion.
Right.
A secret lair in the volcano.
Yes,
surrounded by liquid hot magma.
And as you point out, the plot is revealed, this solar-powered submarine with this chemical weapon that kills people called Silent Night.
It is.
And basically, you know, they kill all the scientists involved. Again, Bond did it better.
But everyone did it
better. Well, nobody does it better.
Oh, God. I hate that you and I had the same thought at the same time. But
and
yeah.
You said it at the same time.
We did. But I also want to emphasize here, Vin Diesel is somewhere else in the GoldenEye level in the caverns. Mm-hmm. But he has his magic binoculars, and he's having a real hard time watching these people die.
It just shows his emotional side. Because he's really
bothered. But same with Asia Argento. Yeah. She's watching it, and she wipes away a tear.
Exactly. But, you know, he's basically... He decided to raid this place to grab her, to get her out before this extraction, cleanup, sweeper team goes in and murders everyone. And of course, that's not before they let the submarine go.
That's right.
Yep.
I mean, and again, at this point, we've talked not as long as the movie, but like everything else is stupid action. So
yeah. Well, there's a couple subplots. I mean, first there was another decoy by Jackson to get Triple X into this magic mansion so he could kill anybody and everybody instead of one of his teams, which I don't know why that was a better idea.
Especially since the world is on the line. Like literally at one point, this missile is supposed to kill the entire town of Prague, and they're like, well, 1.5 million casualties in one village or one city is better than 10 cities or whatever. Also around here, speaking of subplots, this is where it turns out that the Cheka secret police officer is actually working with Yorgi, or at least has been bought off by Yorgi. So when Vin Diesel gets back, when Xander gets back to the safe house, he's got the gun pointed at him.
Yep.
And then Asia Argento kills him.
Kills
the secret police guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
And she was apparently supposed to kill both of them. Right. He was supposed to be killed, and then whatever. Xander Cage and his, I guess, brother Nicolas Cage. And...
To describe like really how stupid these action scenes are. At one point, Cage gets into wherever that facility was, where the sub. Was built as he's pinned down by fire, and he uses a heat-seeking missile and a bazooka to kill a smoker.
Oh yeah, the bad guy who tried to kill him, the sniper who tried to kill him earlier.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh well, he's always smoking. This is heat-seeking. Oh, he just fired it randomly.
That's not really how heat-seeking missiles work.
Oh no. It becomes hot shots for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Where Saddam goes, oh no, Baba Ganoush, and then explodes. We also get a kind of a scene here where she goes, you know how I said I would never kiss you again? I lied. And then they make out for a bit. And again, it's like licking a marble statue, which is fine.
How did Yorgi die again? Because at one point, Cage shoots him right before he launches the submarine.
Much more movie yet. Remember, they have to fly to the Alps?
Oh, yeah, for the avalanche. Oh, my God.
Nothing like fresh powder.
Well, I mean, and like at this point, like even though he's been in the NSA for a week... He puts himself in charge of these missions, right? And so he now has to fly up to take out a comm tower, which again, this is GoldenEye. This is the very, like, this is so Bond. And to do it, rather than skiing, which is too Bond, he has to snowboard.
Of course.
And this is because also...
it's more extreme. Well, I mean, you know, they've already done the dirt bike, and now, and they sort of pseudo did a skateboard with the whole, you know, riding the metal tray. Now it's a snowboard.
It's something.
See, this is a thematic element. This is a good movie.
Can you imagine Sean White's secret agent? It would be more charismatic.
Oh God,
I'd watch that movie before I'd watch this again.
Especially if it was a Nickelodeon movie, and so there was DAC involved.
Oh yeah, there you go.
I mean, you might as well.
The slime avalanche is going to get you, Sean White. Escape.
I mean, it might as well. I mean, if Vin Diesel could be funny. Which he can't, and it's fine. You don't have to be, but if he could, this is almost a Scooby-Doo movie.
Well, this is why you put Vin Diesel with people who can be funny.
That's right. That's right. Someone who's slightly hairy, someone who's a little bit out of sorts. And again, that's why I thought Rowan Atkinson. But at this point, you could almost do Hugh Laurie because a bit of fried Laurie was out. Like he could do it. But yeah, so the idea is he has to take out this communications tower for
which
some reason.
I don't even understand. To be honest, the only reason they did it is like, well, we gotta have a reason for him to snowboard.
Yeah, basically.
Well, and again, I don't know who the cinematographer is, but this looks good. I mean, it's a snowboarding scene. I don't know what to tell you. It's an X Games scene.
I will say, you know, the BMX, the scenes, the snowboarding scenes, those were actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it's fine. And again, this movie, I don't know if I'd recommend it or not, but it is exactly what you want if you want stupid action. Yep. And that's what this is. So as the stupid action is happening, they send out a bunch of snowmobiles. He causes an avalanche, which takes out the tower.
Yep.
And then they capture him and they throw him back in the brig.
Yes. And then, I don't know, what happens at that point? Does he get out again or does explosion happens? How does he get on the sub? Because the next thing I know, he's on the freaking sub.
It's like Indiana Jones where you're like, wait, there was a sub in Raiders?
Yeah.
See, at this point, this is when we have the, I don't know what you want to call it. It's not a good scene, but this is the point where Yorkie goes, he was a spy, and so are you, Yelena. I know you've been a spy for years. I just liked you, watching you twist in the wind. But at this point, that's when the Czechs SWAT team, whatever they're called, bust down the door. And so in this complete open combat, Yorgi tries to make a break for it because he's literally losing.
Yes.
He grabs the hard drive out of what looks like a 1980s supercomputer and then runs downstairs to the basement where the sub is to say, look, even if I die, the sub is going to destroy Prague.
Exactly.
And we are at this point, 90 minutes in, and the movie is 2 hours. So for the last 30 minutes, it's literally an action scene, which I cannot be bothered by.
That's the thing. That sounds cool. A 30-minute action sequence as they try to save the world? Wow. It sucks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, like, the thing you have to remember about all this is, it's Prague, which is a beautiful city, and credit to them, they filmed in Prague. And you can tell that.
Definitely, definitely.
But it's like a lot of, like, well, he's chasing a sub along the river, which means driving through villages, and there's explosions in a potato cart. And it's just like, it's a lot of, like, things. There's a reason why when Bond movies happen in Prague, it's a lot of foot. It's a lot of running around.
No, there are scenes of them driving just through random Czech villages and, like, shooting a potato cart.
If there's driving in a Bond movie, it's in somewhere like Italy where there's curvy roads.
Yes.
There's nothing here to drive.
Why a potato cart?
I don't know. I just think
that... saw Three Stooges the day before they filmed. And it was either that... there weren't any fresh fruits available in Prague.
I mean, I guess it could have been a cabbage cart.
And there was a guy with a window walking like, whoa!
A potato cart. Maybe the set designer just thought they were neat. I don't know.
What can we buy a wagon's worth of? But yeah, so at this point, the sniper... I mean, this is where we have the sniper scene where they're in the underground, like, cavern thing. And this is where we have the heat-seeking missile... because cigarettes will kill you. I told him that cigarette would kill him.
God help me.
This movie's equivalent of a Bond quip.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and again, the thing is, Pierce can deliver a quip. You know what Daniel Craig can't do? Deliver a quip.
He's got a couple good ones in Casino Royale.
A couple. Where the guy's torturing him and goes, and he's hitting him in the balls, and he goes, can you hit the other side too? I got an itch.
Personally, my favorite was after he's nearly poisoned and goes back to the table and it's like, oh, that last hand nearly killed me.
Fine. You win. That's fine. But this is the Pierce era. And Pierce can deliver a fucking quip. Vin Diesel's like, you know what's funny? Dying. And that's it. That's it. You're fine. The last movement of this is them driving around. And I mean, it's a really incredibly stupid scene earlier, which we didn't even mention, but I'll mention here. There's just a pile of weapons and boxes and guns and tech stuff. And he goes, put all of this into the car. And the guy runs up and he hands them a manual. So the jokes, quote-unquote jokes, for the last 30 minutes of this, is Yelena flipping through the manual trying to figure out what gadgets can stop.
Yeah, exactly. And while he's driving, and she's flipping through and they can't figure it out, so they swap places. Right?
First of all, the submarine is called Ahab. No, the bullet is called Ahab. Something is called Ahab. So you have to take it down with a harpoon. Because someone thought exactly one joke, they nailed it.
Well, he did say, well, isn't there, like, you know, a way to, like, blow the roof or something?
There was.
And they did.
It was in the manual.
It was in the manual. She looked it up. She hit the button. Boom. The roof was blown.
Well, and then he gets on the submarine, and this is still like 15 minutes of movie where he's
Hold up. Before he gets on the submarine, you're sort of burying the lead there.
No. Oh.
He fires the harpoon, hits the submarine.
And does an incredible stunt.
And then pulls the parachute, and then is suddenly lifted aloft and is with this American flag parachute through a canal in Prague.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being dragged behind this submarine.
So you want to hear the depressing fact about this?
It's all depressing, I'm sure.
They did the stunt, and it worked, and they filmed it. And then they wanted coverage, so they did it a second time, And the second time the stuntman died doing this stuff.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
and they used the footage from the first one anyway.
Oh, well, I mean, it would have been in bad taste to use the second one.
Apparently, that's not uncommon. If they die for their art, they sometimes splice some footage in if they can. But that stunt... It's Rob Cohen. He didn't need to die, Rob.
Somebody died to make Triple X.
Can you imagine?
Oh, ugh. Jesus.
And it, and it wasn't Bambi Woods.
Or I mean, think of the headstone. Died making Triple X.
Vin Diesel has to give the eulogy.
Oh, jeez. That's
depressing.
Yeah, that's very depressing. Well, I mean, it's always...
So today I'm wearing my morning coat. It is mostly fur, but from a black lab. I would like to say I'm sad about this, but the picture was pretty good. Thank you. I am Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel delivering a eulogy. You think he showed up to Paul Walker's funeral too, or?
I'm sure he did, but I'm sure he was a lot more respectful there.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I imagine he got along with Paul Walker. Anyway, so this incredibly stupid stunt on the submarine, because he doesn't have a plan. That's the funny thing. He gets the submarine.
And he's just on top of it.
Maybe.
Like, what am I doing?
And he's trying to crawl on the sub in the middle of this river. And eventually he pulls out the hard drive. And then he flips one of the missiles upside down so it blows up the sub.
Well, so that it pushes the sub underwater.
Down underwater. Because again, water neutralizes
this
chemical.
Poison. This chemical poison. And which they made a point of saying in the saying earlier in the movie.
Right, exactly. And so, I mean, if there's tension in this movie, this is where it's supposed to be.
Well, of course, because, Samuel L. Jackson Gibbons and Yelena are, like, you know, weeping. Well, not so much Gibbons, but Yelena, because, oh no, Xander died saving everyone.
And I also have to mention here, this is where we get a lot of bunch of finally stupid establishing shots of Prague, because they're supposed to make us feel sad. Like, there's people milling around. There's, like, gargoyles on the cathedral. Like, they're showing these, like, they're like, but wouldn't it be sad if these people died, too? And Vin Diesel's looking at
lots of people on bridges.
That's right. I was going to make a joke, but, like, he plays D&D, so, like, so I don't know what makes him look this confused, but he's very confused right now. But he comes up with a plan, and they think he's died.
Yeah, he wins. They think he's died. He floats to the surface a minute later, and then...
Bora Bora.
Yeah.
Bora Bora. Bora Bora. And they're making out on the beach. Again, like it's...
Like it's a Bond ending.
Goldeneye or something.
Exactly. Now, that is a complete lift, and it's like they're making out on the beach, and all of a sudden in the background, you know, Samuel Jackson comes on and is like, you know...
It was less Bond, actually, and more the ending of the first Austin Powers with Basil Exposition showing up on the video phone, and they're trying to cover their genitals.
Ah, yes.
And we are introduced at this point to Vin Diesel's nipple tattoo, and smash cut to credits after they swim...
And it sets up all the, you know, future movies, potential, etc.
All two of them.
We have to talk to you about something important.
And he's not in the second one. It's Ice Cube instead.
But then he returns for the third one.
He does come
and
back.
And rumor is they're going to do a fourth one.
I mean, why wouldn't they? I mean, this... Movie made money.
They need to catch him in between the Fast and the Furious.
Well, that's almost ending, so hey. After 65-year-old Vin Diesel doing this again.
I live with this shit.
My hip is broken.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. This is what do you think, Nick? Are we ready for final thoughts here?
We are. I just want to add one thing. I mentioned at the very beginning, you've got to watch the credits. We're sucked down a black hole, and then it just becomes CGI nonsense for a while. But I had the subtitles on, because I can't hear without subtitles. It flashes up, you know, the song is Adrenaline by Gavin Rossdale. So you're already in trouble, and there's angel wings with a rose in the middle and two guns, surrounded by a halo of bullets. And the lyrics are, too much is not enough. And then it says, directed by Rob Cohen. And then it says, nobody said this stuff makes sense.
Oh, well, that's the perfect review right there.
Nobody said this stuff makes any sense. Rob Cohen. Nailed it. Final thoughts. No one said this stuff makes any sense. This is stupid Bond for stupid, stupid, stupid. Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Stupid. First, why try to rip off Bond like this after Bond's been around almost 40 years at this point? And try to use it to launch a new franchise. Who cared at that point? Second, the way they executed it was just so remarkably dumb. I see Nick looking at me about my former point, and so I'll say they'd already had Austin Powers and all sorts of spy spoofs. This genre was basically a joke, and this movie takes it completely seriously, and it suffers for doing so. I mean, this should have been another action movie parody. This should have been Hot Shots 3. It would have been much better.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, we got Vin Diesel meatheading all over the place. And, God damn, this is 45 minutes too long. And this is a 2-hour and 5-minute movie, if I recall.
Mm-hmm.
There's no plot to sustain it. And all the action sequences suck. This was bad.
I mean, you know, I was definitely not the target audience. I am not extreme enough for this. It's definitely for the X Games crowd. I think that they were, they were a little bit off the mark. It could have been awesome. It could have been the Fast and the Furious. Eventually, it did become Fast and the Furious, and that actually was successful. It's been very successful. But the idea of a, you know, basically a super spy that's extreme and doing crazy shit and very tongue-in-cheek with a little bit of humor and, like, this is not real in any way. I mean, that's a winning combination in my book, but this movie failed to deliver on that, especially because they just had Vin Diesel by himself, and he cannot carry a movie by himself.
Well, if I can cut back in real quick, the reason the later Fast and the Furious movies work is because their tongue is in the cheek.
Yeah, exactly. They lean into the ridiculousness of these movies. I mean, like, the latest one had, like, people in space in a car.
Yeah.
And I will add just my, again, final thoughts. It's stupid. But they got all the wrong messages from Bond at this point, too, which is what I think you're starting to get to. Because what they did when they rebooted Bond in 2008
six.
Was they made it grimmer. They made it darker. And, like, Casino Royale has funny lines, but it's not a funny movie. This movie could have been Johnny English very easily, but it chose to go straight, which is the wrong way to go. Had anyone had fun with this movie, it could have been something. Instead, it stinks much more of a rejected Bruce Willis movie. Right? Because that's what Bruce Willis is. He's always the put-upon guy who thinks he's being funny. And oftentimes you can write a script around that. This time they just couldn't. It's just a different bald wooden statue. Now, I will say, I mean, this is coming out in August. If you're having a barbecue and you're hanging out and it's a day where you're not really paying attention, there are worse stupid movies to watch. And there's a lot of stupid explosions and stupid music to stupid, 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 stupid. But don't sit down on your movie night and watch this. Just crack out an old Bond movie, and you'll be happy. Or go the other way. Be grimmer and watch a Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, something that's actually spy. Or something that's fun, like a Sly Stallone or Schwarzenegger action movie. This is something that, like, if it's on at a party and you're passing through, you'll be like, the fuck's happening?
You want to split the difference? Watch Spy Game.
Watch Spy Game. I mean, we talked about it, but Rob Cohen was somehow involved in Running Man. Watch that. Watch that yesterday instead. Anyway, I would like to thank these fine, fine gentlemen for helping me start season 9 with such a kick in the teeth. I'm going to go have some pizza, and we'll be back next week and every future week while we watch some movies that you may or may not have heard of or even bothered to watch. Thanks, guys.
Season 9 of Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Suttis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and stars Daniel Suttis and Matt Quinn. The theme music is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod of Incomptech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and review us wherever podcasts are found. Thanks, guys.